Just giving out the New Testaments to the kids kind of threw us off the routine. We are all creatures of habits. We just do something one way. And how many of you ever got in your car to go somewhere different and you wound up at the place you normally go to all the time? We've all done that, haven't we? I was going to Winter Haven the other day. And from my house, you just stay on 544. Next thing I knew, I was in the church parking lot. That car done that to me. Just that's the way we are. It's all cut up here in this groove, and it won't get out of the groove. Amen. Well, open your Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 13. We've been in it. We're going to be in it some more. A big, important chapter. All of them are, but Chapter 13 is right on top of us, I feel like. The day and age we live, we're getting so close. And seeing the shatter of things that are predicted in the Bible just falling across the news and across the world in so many different ways. And it's a chapter, don't have a lot of verses in it, but it's really packed full, 18 verses. And I want you to notice to begin with, it is chapter 13. Now, you know there's suspicion that 13 is unlucky. Well, I don't know that we all would want to believe in luck. We believe in the blessings of the Lord. But the Bible says, Ecclesiastes says, time and chance happens to everybody. We understand that. And chapter 13 has got a reputation. Many people fear it. For a long time, there was no number 13 seat on airplanes because of that. Many hotels would not have a 13th floor. I know when we made our trip to Russia, they put us on the 13th floor. I thought that wasn't a good sign. And sure enough, the KGB was following us around. Brother Earl Lee knows we were there. And if you were here the other night when Brother Kevin Mann came, he did a tremendous thing on the numbers through the Bible. And you could get his tape or get his books. And I'm going to clear this throat in a minute, maybe. Anyway, he ran down how the 13s are in the King James Bible. And it is something to behold, too much to be anything like a coincidence. And here, when you get to the 13th chapter of Revelation, you have some really bad stuff showing up. I believe time level in this chapter 13, we're far as the future goes, it's moved us into the tribulation period, probably about midway, but we can't be 100% sure on that. But the content of it, you're introduced to two characters we call the beast. You got two beasts showing up. We normally just think about the one that represents and is the Antichrist. But also, there's the false prophet that shows up. It's also called a beast. Now, we're going to expound it, so to speak. We've already started on verse by verse. But I'm just kind of reviewing here a little bit. The two beasts show up. They're world leaders. They will be leading the global kingdom that is predicted, evil kingdom. A big part of the trouble today, I believe the reason the president, I think, got conned out of the election is because he wouldn't go along with a globalistic plan, the Antichrist kingdom plan. He was not fitting from the very beginning, and so that was what was wrong. And that plan's been around for a long time. Now, it would take a lot of time to go through the book of Daniel and run the parallel with the book of Revelation. Got to remember, Daniel was written before Revelation. Probably written at least 500 years, if not 600 or 700 years, before John was placed on the Isle of Patmos and God gave him the revelation of Jesus Christ. Book of Revelation in your New Testament is the last book. By the way, if you run across some of these con men that claim God's given them another book, just throw them in the trash can. God's completed his revelation, amen? But anyway, the two beasts that show up, the two world leaders, will head up the global kingdom. It'll have two sides to it. They'll merge together. It'll be the political side, and it'll be the religious side. The second beast, the false prophet, will, as we'll read in the scripture, He's going to have horns. He's going to be a wolf in sheep's clothing, but he's going to speak with the power of the dragon or the devil. And so that'll be a religious leader. Now, the most known thing about Revelation chapter 13, almost anybody unsaved has not been in church, don't know anything about the Bible, but somewhere or another they've heard about the mark of the beast. You'll just run across people like that. I've heard different comments, and I think, do they know something? No, they just heard something. You know, the mark of the beast. And the mark of the beast is getting closer all the time as we see all the indications now and understand it. I used to, and you've heard me say this, I used to say, how in the world would thinking people take a mark that's identified and pretty well known and warned against in the Bible? But I see the scene today, and I see how easy the population is manipulated, how easy they are deceived, how quickly they will react. Two things make them react quick. We've just seen this in the pandemic thing with the COVID, the fear of death. We have done the most extreme things in this world over the fear of death, where the death rate has not changed on COVID. 99.6 of the people that actually got COVID lived. Do you know that's almost immeasurable? That is a death rate below the average flu rate of the last few years. But we have scared ourselves to death with it. The media has made hay off of it. And control has been granted. We have little 10 dictators called governors and others that are. And you've seen how the devil uses it against the church. Boy. But the fear of death. Hebrews tells us that man is all his life in bondage to the fear of death. And while we see that with the fear of death, we also see the financial thing. Well, the mark of the beast says that man can't buy or sell without it. We'll get to that as we go verse by verse. And I've often heard the statement, and I've seen it to be true, when you don't understand something, you follow the money trail. Generally behind it all, I've often joked and said it's Ben Franklin or George Washington or whoever's picture's on the money. By the way, isn't it interesting how we've moved now to the so-called cashless society? And even the excuse now that can't give you change because we don't have any coins. Have you run across that anywhere? I have. I'm not going to tell the story again, but I needed air in my tire and couldn't get a bill changed to get quarters. What a joke. All of a sudden, things are moving to the cashless society. And that's really going to hurt fellows like me because I'm not into the other way of paying things. I've often said, I tell you how to stay in budget a lot easier. Go green. Pay for it with green money and you'll feel the pain. Putting the card out there, you don't feel the instant pain you feel when you see that $20 bill disappear. Amen. You know what I'm talking about? I've said to young couples, you want to get your budget in line? Have plastic surgery. Get the scissors and cut your plastic up. It's just too easy to lay it down. And in the commercial world, if you can give them a promise, they'll take it and then they'll come collect later. And that has really messed up a lot of young couples. Nobody knows who I'm talking about. It's been years and years ago, but it already started with all the credit cards. And I married a couple, have many, many couples through the years, good kids, good families. And after just a few months, I mean short time, one of the dads comes and said, "Preacher, I want you to talk to the kids." Said, "They're already in terrible financial debt right now. Talk to them about this thing." See, here's the way it is with kids. They want what mom and dad saved and worked for 40 years. they want it in 4 days. They want to jump right over, you know, to it. That's what happens. So I decided I'd call on them. So I went out to the apartment they'd rented. In fact, they'd rented a house, an older house, but nice house. As I was leaving my car, walking up and going through to the front door, a young man, well-dressed, come out the door and short greetings and went on and left. Well, when I got inside, I found out he was a salesman. And he had done a sharp number on them kids. He'd gone in there and he'd sold them a vacuum cleaner, but not a vacuum cleaner, a vacuum system to a house they were renting, did not own. But it was going to have holes in the wall where you could plug in the hose to every different wall, and it's got a closet somewhere with a big machine in it sucking it all through those holes. They had just signed on the dotted line to have that system installed into a rented house. And here's the catch. There wasn't a piece of carpet in the house. It's all wood floors. And they were telling me about all what this thing's going to do and going to do. And I sat there, I thought, what in the world? How many payments? How many years? When you could go buy an old-fashioned stick broom at the store and a dustpan. I mean, isn't it pitiful though the way we are? Now, I described them. Did I describe something you've done in the past? Just that foolish. But we gotta watch out. Now we're moving to the cashless society. We're moving to where the end thing to do, you're almost. I've actually caught myself now a time or two, and I'm a little facetious sometimes. I take it easy because the clerk that you're dealing with is not to blame for whatever's wrong. So I don't want to be mean to them. But I've said more than one time, can I pay for this with cash? Or do you still accept cash? You'd be surprised. I had Brother Parsons, I think, maybe, I don't know if he told you, but he told me, he said, I went to the store right here locally and bought a few items. And he said, I started to pay for it with cash. And the clerk said, no, we want you to use a card. He said, I don't want to use a card. And they argued with him about using a card. He said, I laid the stuff back on the counter and walked out. Now, that's getting pretty bad. We're talking about in a little area like ours, amen? And then I told you the other Wednesday night, Brother Yeager, I don't see him this morning, but Brother Yeager come up to me and said, picked up some stuff and was going out to buy it. And he said, when I got there, they said, well, you just paid for it. He said, I did not. I was fixing to pay you with cash. They said, oh, no, we got your card right here. You just paid for it. He said, I didn't. He said, yes, you did. He said, that thing scanned my card while it was still in my billfold or in my pocket. Now, that gets scary, folks. But that's what he told me here and just recently. Now, what I'm saying is what's predicted in the Bible is coming on like just snowballing. It's coming so fast, so quickly. And Revelation 13 has a lot of that in it. It ends with the mark of the beast. And along with this card business and along with this pandemic we're in and the shutdown and going to the doctors, you've heard this over and over. Now they're moving into this tracing thing. Not only did you test positive, but who you've been around in what church you go to. Now, that's getting scarier and scarier, but we're hearing that kind of stuff from real people. And, of course, we're hearing a lot about identities being stolen. We know the mark's going to be on the forehead or in the hand, but I'm not sure it'll be visible to the naked eye. It may not be, and there's all kind of technology out now that can fulfill every bit of that. We understand, and now with the vaccine, it's getting a little scary. Now, don't go out and misquote me. I'm not telling you not to take the vaccine. Maybe you should. I don't know. But I am saying if not this one, in the future, when the mark is the thing, it will include whether or not you've been vaccinated or not. And you won't get in to fill your prescription in the drugstore. You won't get in certain places at all unless the scanner at the door also shows you've been vaccinated. I flew on an airplane back from Arkansas here, what's it been, 6 weeks, 7 weeks? And I've always been flying, sometimes, not on takeoff, but on landing sometimes, I have an ear or two with my sinus problems and allergies that stop up, feel like you got water in your ear. Anybody ever remember that? Now, I remember as a kid swimming in these lakes, and I got plenty of water in my ear, and I generally could knock it out or sleep on that side and wet the pillow that night. But after you get older, things change. You know that. And so most of the time, I'd get off an airplane, get in my car, and before I get home, my ears cleared up all right. But one of them didn't clear up too good, coming from Arkansas about 6 weeks ago. And I've been using it for excuse that I can't half hear my wife no more when she wants things done. But all joking aside, every now and then it's a little pop, a little, you realize something that's not cleared up there. So I asked Sister Virginia Wren there with her medical background what to do, and she told me to call the clinic and let them check it out. So I did. Virginia, I sat there and listened to that recording, and I finally hung up on it. It went down the line. Been tested for COVID, blah, blah, blah. Who's been around you? Where you been? What you doing? Can you fill out these forms? And I thought, no, but I'd hang this phone up. And I did. Now, I can endure some things rather than go through some of the things hoops you got to jump through anymore to get some things done. But if you think that's bad now, it's going to get worse. According to the Bible, those kind of things are increasing, snowballing on us right now. Maybe you're not running into any of that, but I've been running into it. In this chapter 13, we have the Antichrist that picked him out of the animals identified. Now remember in the book of Daniel when he was talking about the world kingdoms and predicted them and how he used the imagery, picture worth a thousand words and more, of the beast. Remember how in Daniel he gave you the big image of the Colossus image, starting with the head of gold with Babylon, going all the way down through Rome and through the irons, two of them, two legs. Rome was divided into eastern and western kingdoms, divisions. And then finally winding up where we live in now, and that's in the feet of the image given in the book of Daniel. The feet were mixed with iron and clay, and they don't stick together. And it describes that. They do not adhere one to another. It's in that time of the feet of the image that the Lord Jesus comes back as the smiting stone cut out of the mountain without hands and smites the image on the feet and brings all the kingdoms down, because you see, the feet wind up falling through all the kingdoms, the foundation, and finally we're living in what we call the United States. We call the United States of Europe, or the European common market. We're in the time, but we don't adhere together. We got divisions. It's not working, just like the Bible described. It's during that time Jesus is coming back to set up his kingdom. So the kingdom we see that's in warfare against the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ is the kingdom of the Antichrist, coming here and described in detail, much detail. I've had folks ask me, where does the Bible say there's going to be a one world kingdom? I say the book of Daniel, the book of Revelation. Now, the truth is, it's pretty clear. Satan has been warring with God over who was going to take the kingdom of the world from the very beginning. And quite frankly, Satan is the god of this world. The Bible calls him that. He's the prince and power there. He's the god of this world. And this world follows Satan in so many ways. I've said this so many times. Even the animals chosen to represent the world are always ferocious animals. Even America's the hunting bird, the eagle. Russia, the bear. England, the lion. And then we have, as we talked on it last week, and I can't get through the book of Revelation because I keep repeating, because guess what? Some of you don't come all the time. And I'm trying to bring you up to speed, and that takes a lot of time. But the leopard is the key animal in the 13th chapter of the book of Revelation. And when you think about the animals, the jungle animals, we'll think about the leopard and the lion. There's several identifying marks concerning the leopard that fits the Antichrist. And the animal there that fits him in chapter 13 is the leopard. It's a cosmopolitan beast. It can represent all different races. For instance, if you look at the color and design of the leopard, roll him over on his back, he's got a white belly, represents the white race. He's got the yellowish, tawny brown, yellowish hide, representing the Asian races. He's got the black spots, representing the black race. And I can go deeper on that, better not right now. I just dropped this, and this, this is 1 Micah 2nd verse. I can't prove this with a verse. But if you look close at the leopard spots, all right, I'm going to meddle some here. How many of you ladies, when you were young girls and you first slipped in and you got a hold of mama's lipstick and you put it on your lips, how many of you had to kiss something to see what it looked like the mirror, right? Or a piece of paper? Oh, yeah. And I've seen the picture Norman Rockwell painted, a little girl dressed up and putting on the makeup. The truth is, that's coming. What did it look like? Have you ever looked at the print of a kiss? Have you ever looked at it close? Go home and kiss the mirror. No, I'm playing with you now, but look, see, you know what it looks like. If you look at the leopard spot real close, it's almost like a kiss. Do you know the worship of this beast in Revelation 13? And the false prophet that's going to come along, can you think of any religion today that involves kissing anything? You can, can't you? Have you ever seen some of the statues that basically becomes idols? Have you ever heard that this statue was kissed so often till the toes are about to disappear on it where it's kissed? Have you ever heard that? Now, I'm meddling and I'm on the radio and the white coats may be coming in there after me any time. We're moving to that day and time. But there's some interesting stuff the Bible kind of puts in symbolism that we see materializing so much today. We better be a little bit careful about that. I remember John Bunyan, the great old Baptist who wrote Pilgrim's Progress and so forth, and was in jail 12 years, Bedford jail. But anyway, you know, the Bible does say you can greet each other with a holy kiss and all that, but you better be careful with that business. The Bible also says it's better for a man not to touch a woman. Now, talking about somebody beside his wife, so you better watch some of that stuff. Be real careful. But John Bunyan said, you know, they were arguing with him. He was trying to preach a little separation in his congregation. He was saying to them, you know, men and women, keep your distance and be careful coming familiar with each other and so on. And by the way, that's still good advice for our day and age. But they were arguing with John Bunyan a little bit about that. And they said, well, the Bible says a holy kiss. He said, yeah, but he said, I've noticed in the congregation, he said, it's the beautiful women that's getting more kissing. I thought John Bunyan, way back there, Baptist preacher, 1600s, things hadn't changed much. Human nature is still the same, amen? And the Bible is wise when it gives you some safeguards like that. But one of the excuses they used for closing churches here during the pandemic was people are so familiar with each other, they're hugging and kissing at church. I thought, what church? Not mine. We're a little bit wise about that. I remember, I'm meddling now. I should let this stuff alone. But I remember a professor in my seminary when I was just a young guy. He said, now, fellas, he said, some of you young, good-looking guys, you're going to go to churches. And he said, some of these women are just going to come up, and they're going to get too familiar with you, and they're going to want to hug and kiss on you. And he did like this. He said, I want to show you what to do. He said, keep your elbow right in here and keep your hand out like this, and you can keep that much distance between you. Well, we all laughed. We thought that was funny, and then we went in the ministry. We found out he was wiser than we thought he was in some cases. Playing it safe was smart, amen? How'd you get me off on that? Oh, we wanted the leopard, amen, and identifying him with the Antichrist, but he does identify. He's the cosmopolitan animal that'll satisfy all the different ones, something for everybody. And the truth is, while I've just talked a little bit about what's in the chapter, we go back verse by verse and kind of see how it just rings the bell, how it fits. Now, what we're seeing today is things developing to fulfill and is fulfilling the Bible's predictions very, very close. And while the book of Revelation, we take it literally where it's supposed to be literal. We have things symbolized. We understand that. And it is the revelation given to John of Jesus Christ. And my, it's not out of date. It's coming into date more and more and more. And we are seeing it fulfilled in our news, in our society. I can't hardly believe what a society accepts today. Even not only when I was a teenager, but even when I first got to come into church and when I first got saved, I'd hear the preacher say, the Bible says evil men are going to wax worse and worse. And I guess I could see it then. But boy, can't we see it now? Can't we see it now? This Governor Cuomo of New York, and talking about all the deaths from COVID, I think made a mistake. I hope not on purpose. Put all the patients in the nursing homes and killed them all. Such a terrible death rate in the nursing homes. And yet he got, what was it, an Oscar or Academy Award or something from Hollywood for the way he handled things? Just the reverse of what you would expect and what you would think. That's where we live in. Everything perverted and in reverse. All right, Brother Smith, let's have the report and we'll get ready to have the preaching service here.